Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Amen. Praise God. All right. I've been teaching on how to be led by the Spirit of God. And this has been on for a while. And it's a topic that we cannot outgrow. A subject that no believer should outgrow. That is, you study it again and again as you check your life every day. As you are led by the Spirit of God. Are you really being led by the Spirit of God? Or you are being led by something else? Are you being led by your feelings? Are you being led by other people? Are you being led by social media? Are you being led by Siri? Or are you being led by AI? Chat GPT? Now those things are not bad in themselves, but when it comes to the intricate details of your life, you can only be correctly led by the Holy Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? It's not as many as are led by Google. Romans 8:14, which is our main text. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led, the number does not intimidate God. If all the 8 billion people in this world will be led by the Spirit of God, they are all the sons of God. But you know, not many people want to be led by God because some people have an idea, a wrong idea, a wrong perception about God. They think when God leads you, it's going to be very tough and it's going to lead you into things that you don't like. And they don't want to do things they don't like. They want to do things that they like. And so they don't want to be led at all. I remember in the early days of this church, the Expression House, when we were an afternoon church, a particular lady that we ministered to, she got born again, and then it was time to minister the Holy Ghost baptism. And I used to join the counselors then to minister Holy Ghost baptism. And I said to her, would you like to receive the Holy Ghost? Would you like to speak in tongues? She said, no. I said, okay, maybe you don't want to speak in tongues, but do you understand my question? Would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? She said, no. I said, you just gave your life to Christ. Why wouldn't you like to have this second experience? Of course, when you give your life to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. It's in you. Now, the second experience is for him to come on you, because in you is like a well of water. In John 7:37, the Lord Jesus said, he that believeth, he said on the last day, the great day of the feast. Can I have that on the screen quick? The great day of the feast. He said, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Next verse. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What was he referring to? The rivers of living water that shall flow out of his belly. Next verse. He said, but this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He was referring to the Holy Spirit as that river in your belly. This spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet gone to the cross, and then, of course, to go through the process of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. That's the meaning, that Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Spirit was not yet given, was not yet poured on the church. But Jesus was already talking about the Holy Spirit here. He that believeth on me. So if you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come. Out of your belly. That's not really talking about your stomach where you have food. It's talking about your spirit. Your spirit. How did I know that? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching through all the inward parts of the belly. Can you see the word belly again? your spirit, the you that is on the inside of you, the real you. Now, so the spirit comes within, but then when people have surrendered their heart to Jesus, the spirit comes within, and then they also should have the second experience. It's the same Holy Spirit, not two Holy Spirits, one Holy Spirit, but there are two experiences. The first one is the spirit within, and then the second experience is the spirit upon. It is when he comes upon that you see a manifestation by people speaking in tongues. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit has come upon them. Now, within you to be a blessing to you, upon you to turn you into a blessing, within you to help you build character, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, 23, you find it there. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, nine of them within you. Now, upon you, he anoints you to be a blessing to other people. And that was what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, I'm quoting scriptures, I expect to see them on the screen. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible says that they were all with one accord in one place. All with one accord in one place. And then the next verse says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were all sitting. Now, verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In verse 3, it says, the fire sat upon them. In John 7:37, it was within them. Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Out of his belly, rivers of living waters. So if you put these two together, same Holy Spirit, but then two different experiences. The one within helps you as a person, as a believer, helps you because you need help. I need help. I don't know about you. Amen. But the one upon, the manifestation, the experience of coming upon, turns you into a channel of blessing to other people. I'm a blessing to you tonight because I've had the two experiences, within and upon. And especially, you see, upon is like a river that flows everywhere. Within is like a well of water. It's in you. A well can serve a house and maybe a couple of houses on an estate. But a river, the impact of a river is more than that of a well. Everywhere it flows, a river can flow from one state into another. So all the villages, all the towns where the river flows, it serves them. It's a blessing to them. A well cannot do that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Same water in a river, same water in a well, right? But the impact is different. That's why you need to have the two experiences. If you have only one, which is the well within, which is the initial, if that's all that you have, you will be limited in your operation. God wants to use you globally. You'll be limited to maybe 2-3 people. I'm not God. I can't say how far your reach will be, but it won't be like God really originally intends it to be. That one is like a river. And wherever the river flows, it's a blessing. So if you really want God to use you to bless many lives across the globe, you should have the second experience, which is the Holy Ghost coming upon you. When he sits on you, he gets you ready for work. There was a prophecy in Malachi chapter 3. Can you give that to me? Verses 1 to 3. And it was about the Holy Spirit. KJV. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Notice the word suddenly. Shall suddenly come to his temple. And don't forget that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He shall suddenly, notice the word suddenly, come to where? His temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire. Notice the word fire. A refiner is someone that purifies things, like a goldsmith, right? They take metals through fire, and then so that it can come out pure. Like raw gold is unattractive, you know. When they dig it out of the earth crust, you don't even like it. People that are into geology and mining can tell you that when you see raw gold, you don't like it. It smells. It doesn't look good. But when it goes through the fire, through the furnace, then it comes out this color. And everybody likes gold. I mean, real gold. Even if you don't wear gold necklace, if they give you one, you can put it, you can take it to the bank and keep it in the bank. If it's real gold, that thing is going to be appreciating. That's some investment right there. And do you know that money is stored in gold? Why is he a refiner's fire? To purify. Why is he purifying? Because you are raw material. So why purify you? Because you are going somewhere. You don't appear what you're going to be yet. So he processes you. He removes the impurities in your life. That's why it's good to come to church. Every Thursday, every Sunday, Monday afternoon. They say there's another service on Friday. Come. It's good to come to church. People don't know the blessings of coming to church. Every time you get exposed to the presence of God, to the word of God, to prayers, something is leaving you. Impurities are being washed away. The word of God is water. It will wash off the dirt, the impurities, the immorality, the evil tendencies in your mind. Ephesians 5:25 tells us the word of God is water. Don't go there. Stay here. Now, it's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. What do you use? Why do we use soap? Now, when we use soap, what happens to our body? Are we surprised that we see some dirty stuff coming out of our bodies? A soap, you see, you can't just use water alone. When you want to have a clean bath, you apply soap. Because the soap will penetrate your skin and help you wash off some dirty stuff. Sometimes you actually assume you are clean until you get into the bathroom. Or before you get into the bathroom, get a white towel, wipe your face. You'll be shocked how dirty your face is. But I've been, in the last 2 hours, I've been in an air-conditioned car. I wasn't exposed to dust. Wipe your face with a white towel. And you'll be surprised what you see. So you get into the bathroom and you use soap. So it's talking about the same thing. Cleaning off impurities. Because God is pure. And he wants you to be pure. And his word is pure. His word has been tried 7 times. And it was found to be true and faithful. That's why you can bank your life on the word of God. Verse 3. Now notice in verse 1, I said, what word did I ask you to note? Suddenly. In verse 2, what did I ask you to note? Fire. Verse 3. Verse 3 now. And he shall sit. Notice the word sit in verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Those were the priests under the old covenant, serving the Lord, ministering in the temple. And purge them as gold and silver. Because gold and silver need to be purged. They come with a lot of impurities. But when they are refined and they are purged, the impurities are taken away so that the real content, the real stuff that is of value will shine forth. Everything that prevents the glory of God from shining in our lives, may God help us just by the help of the Holy Spirit purify us and get them away from our lives. Some of them many times are in the thoughts, the way you even think. You can shut down the power of God through wrong thinking. You just don't think that God can do it. And power is available for him to get it done. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus was teaching the word of God in the house. And they were there seated, doctors of the law and all kinds of people. And the Bible says, and the power of God was present. And the Bible didn't record that anybody got healed. Jesus was teaching. And the power of God was present. But the Bible didn't record that anybody got healed. Until the friends of a young man who was paralyzed came, and they couldn't find room to enter because the whole place was filled up. So they had to go to the rooftop, remove the rooftop, lower their friend down right in front of Jesus, and that guy got a miracle. The power didn't suddenly come when the guy showed up. The power had been there all the time, but the Bible didn't record that any of them was healed, even though the power of God was present. We need to... Do you believe that radio waves are present in this room tonight? Do you believe by any chance that radio waves are present in this room tonight? If we tune, if we bring in a radio and we tune to the right frequency, maybe 103.5 or 105.5, do you know we just might be listening to Fresh FM or Splash FM or Dominion FM or whatever FM if we get to the right frequency? Is that possible? Is that correct? Was it the radio that brought the waves? No. The waves had been here all the time. But when we brought the machine and we tuned into the right frequency, we got the right station. The power of God is always present. Are we ready to tune in to the right frequency to connect with the power of God? Are you with me, church? God is always leading us. Are we tuning in our spirit to link up to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Are we tuning in? Because you may even go right in the front of a radio station and you go with your radio and you say, this radio station is a scam. I can't get them on my device. Oh, excuse me, why are you not getting us on your device? I'm in front of your station. I should automatically pick your frequency. No, sir. You tune. We are 100.5. May I check your device? Oh, no. You're almost there. This is 98.5. This is Radio OYO. But now you're in Inspiration FM 100.5. So all you need to do is to tune to 100. No, I don't need to tune to 100.5. As much as I'm standing in proximity to your station, I should get it. No, that you're in proximity does not mean you're going to get it. I'm close to the church. I'm inside the church. I should be hearing the voice of God. I should be led by the Spirit of God. He wants to lead you every time. Is your heart, which is your radio. Your radio now is your heart. Your device is your heart. That is the engine room with which we are able to connect to heaven. Amen? That's why your heart must be right every time. My son, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4. Let me check out the verse. Verse 23. Keep thy heart. It actually started from verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them where? In the midst of where? That's your engine room, your device. That's where to keep the word, not just in your head. Many people have the word in their head. They can memorize scriptures. They can quote 1,000 scriptures in one service. That is not what gets the job done, my friend. Let it cascade into your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart, because that's when you will do them. When something is in your heart, you will do it. If it's in your head, you can forget. You will doubt it because doubt is in the head. But if doubt now gets into the heart, it's a problem. Do you realize that in Mark 11:23, Jesus didn't say, if you doubt in your head, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith that come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. We all doubt in our head. It's a battle we fight. When Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Do you know the fight he was telling him about? fight to believe God. It's a fight to believe God. Because doubt is ready 24/7, is constant. What if God doesn't do it? What if things don't go right? What if I don't get the right grades? What if my journey is not prosperous? What if, what if, what if? Those what ifs are there 24/7. You fight to believe God. You fight to believe God's word and to establish the supremacy of God's word over every doubt, every fear, every worry, and every anxiety. That's why I say fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight, but it's a good fight. A good fight because you are bound to win. Can I have an amen to that? So I'm in Proverbs 4. And let them not depart from your eyes. That's why it's good to always read God's word. Open your Bible and read. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is your spirit. Your heart is not just this organ here pumping blood. The pulmonary, what do you guys call it in medicine? All the arteries and the veins, pulmonary veins and the aorta and all the parts of the heart. That's not where you store the word of God. That one is pumping blood. Thank God it's working. Amen? Your spirit man. Your spirit man. That's where to keep the word. When you keep the word in your spirit, it doesn't matter where you travel to in the world. You will not live in sin. It doesn't matter whether your pastor is there or not, watching or not. The word is in your spirit. It has become a treasure in your spirit. So it's the thing you do. It becomes who you are because it's in your spirit. No circumstance of life can take it away from you. Oh, I'm in a cold country now. Because the country is very cold, I will need a companion just for the night. Just for a couple of nights. So they can warm my bed. I can warm their bed. You're going to fall into sin. You're going to sin. If the word of God is in your heart and the country is cold, it makes no sense. Whether it is cold or hot, glory be to God. That's as far as my flesh is concerned. I cannot sin against God because I live in a cold country. That's the excuse of some people for living together as partners when they are not married. Especially our people who go abroad. I don't mean our church members, I'm saying Nigerians, when they go abroad and, you know, they live together. Some after living together for 2 years, then they'll come home to come and get married. You're deceiving yourselves. You've been living together for 2 years? What have you been doing in those 2 years? Oh no, we've not been doing anything. It's just a very holy cohabitation. You're very holy sinners, I like you. because the country is really very cold, you always need somebody around you in the night. Then run down and get married before you start living together. Are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, here it's not even cold and people are doing the same. Go to some of our universities, especially those non-residential universities where they don't have on-campus accommodation, where people live off-campus. Couples life. Almost everywhere. Crazy. We had an outreach at the Federal School of Statistics, Shasha, a couple of years ago. It was supposed to be a musical outreach. It turned out to be a deliverance night. A pastor's daughter asked me a question and said, is it wrong? How about Mary and Joseph? She was espoused to him. Does it mean that they were married? Well, why were they living together? Blah, blah. Pastor's daughter. Boom. I preach God's word. Boom. I led prayer. We need to pray. He was probably the first or the second person on the floor. Screaming. All kinds of manifestations happening. There was a pandemonium in that place that night. As people were falling everywhere and screaming, demons screaming out of people. That was how we launched our fellowship there. Because many of those students were living together. Couples life. If not, I don't know the statistics, but from what I heard from our people, if not 95% of them living together. And some of them very young, 18, 19. Maybe the girl is 18, the guy is 21, or the girl is 18, the guy is 20. And then you're going to have sex all through your 3 years in the school. Somebody's just going to be using you for free. And then you get pregnant along the line, then you abort it, and then you move on with your life like nothing happened, and then move on to another boyfriend because that one is going to break your heart. Sure, it's going to break your heart. You're going to find another babe that is finer than you. As a matter of fact, in class, he's already looking at another girl. And you want to fight as the wife. What do you mean? Hey, did I marry you? No commitment. There is no commitment. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why would you allow anybody access your body without a commitment? You want to access my body? There has to be a commitment. Number one, to God. Number two, to my parents. Number three, to my church. And then I'm all yours, baby. Do whatever you want to do with me. But there has to be that commitment. Marriage is being redefined across the globe today because many people are not led by the Spirit of God. They are led by their feelings, they are led by the flesh, they are led by the community, the society. And people are saying we can be together as, you know, friends with benefits. They called it one name in America the other time. A friend of mine called me, we were talking along that line. And she said, yeah, a guy moved in with me and we are in an open marriage. Open marriage. You know what that means? Open marriage means I can bring in a guy, he can bring in a lady to our home. It doesn't matter. We are not bothered. We like to share. Is that what the Bible says? When God made Adam and then God created Eve out of his ribs, did God say, well, let me create some other people and then it's going to be open? Now, if you're going to have another partner when he likes, you got to open up, baby. Adam, whenever you feel like there's another babe down there, go ahead. See, the moment we stray from the manual of life, the manual of destiny, we go into error straight. Even if you're a preacher, the moment you start disconnecting from God's word, and you start going in the line of your own thinking and reasoning, you are liable to fall into error. That's why there is all manner of stuff going on in the world today. He said, keep my word in your heart. Let it not depart from your eyes. Because they are life. My words are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. All diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Keep your engine. Keep your heart. Keep your spirit. If bitterness gets its way into your spirit, it will be tough for you to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to find that scripture and I will show you now by God's grace. If bitterness gets into your spirit, it brings darkness. And when you fall in, when darkness comes in, you don't know what you're stumbling at. You don't know your way. You do things haphazardly. You do things like a confused person because there is bitterness in your heart and there is darkness there. Go to 1 John. Now, before you go to 1 John, let me get through with that Malachi 3. I was there before. So go to Malachi 3. I gave you three words to note. Can you remind me? Number one word, suddenly. Number two word, fire. Number three word, sit. S-I-T. Go to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Again, verses 1 to 4, which we read earlier. You'll find those three words there. One from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2. And what? Do you remember in Malachi? He said it will come suddenly. And in Acts chapter 2, he came suddenly. Now, what's the next word? Fire. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it sat upon, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of what? Malachi says, fire. And this one says fire. And in Malachi 3, we also have the word sit. And this fire sat upon them. Did you see that? So there was a prophecy. And there were many years in between. And then there came the fulfillment of the prophecy. God's word will never fall to the ground. Every word from the mouth of God carries in itself the innate ability to bring itself to pass. It must surely come to pass. It is easier for heaven and the whole earth to get out, vanish, disappear, than for a tittle or a jot of God's word to go unfulfilled. It will never happen. The moment God releases a word, everything it takes to bring that word to pass happens. They all align. Everything aligns. Go and listen to that song from Hillsong. And as you speak, what's the title of the track? So will I. A billion, whatever, galaxies are formed. Because science is still trying to catch up with the word of God. Every discovery science is making now, they are just catching up with what God had said over 2,000 years ago. Ages ago. We are making discoveries of what he had already said. What has God said about your life? Can you believe him? Or would you rather believe the devil? Would you rather believe people who say you cannot amount to anything, you are not going anywhere? Ah, no, you can't tell me that. What has God said about you? That's why you should befriend your Bible, so that you can know what he has said about you. And you can believe it, and then meditate on it, and confess it, and do what it says, because in doing is where you have the blessing. James 1, 25. In fact, from verse 22. James chapter 1, quickly. Media, you will help me. Who is on the system tonight? Don't let me look in that direction. James 1, 22. If any, no, 22, 22, I said. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. You see, don't just find out what God has said about you, and then you quote it, but you don't do it. Don't be hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Which means you can come to church and hear and hear and hear and hear and nothing happens. But I thought they said faith cometh by hearing and hearing. That hearing has to be the anointed utterance of Christ. Rhema Christos. That's what Romans 1:17 says. That hearing will come from the mouth of Christ. It could come from the mouth of the pastor. But Christ is the one speaking through the pastor and speaking directly to you. So while everybody is hearing a general message, you are getting a personal word. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've heard people say to me time and time and time and time again, Pastor, thank you very much. That word today was for me. A guy was in church, I think it was the last Sunday, from Lagos. He said, Pastor, I must tell you. No, that was two Sundays ago, I think. He said, the word today was just for me. And he shared a few things and asked me to pray along with him. He just came to church. He was from Lagos. That's Christ speaking to you. He can also speak to you when you read the Bible on your own, when you study and meditate, especially in the time of meditation, in the place of meditation. I heard the Holy Spirit say to me years ago that revelation is in the womb of meditation, when you can stay with the word. Young people were so energetic and the energy is too much. We are looking for ways to dissipate it. Can you put your phone on flight mode for 1 hour and just be in the word? This is your future. Get your future out of the word. And run with it. Social media, thank God, is a blessing, but it also can be something else. It can be a time waster. You're looking at people's pictures and liking them, liking, liking, liking all day. What have you done today? Liking pictures on Instagram. Oh man, I saw one trending video. From one trending video to another. And that's where you get introduced to sex tapes. They leak this, the recent leaks. And then you get introduced and then you see some thread. And then you see a trend. What what's the language on X now? When something is it trending? When something is trending, it's trending, right? And then you follow the trend. And then you follow the trend. Before you know it, 3 hours gone out of your life. 3 hours that can never come back. And the process can repeat itself the next day. And then the work you are meant to do, you procrastinate. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll be fine. In fact, I will have more time tomorrow. You know how busy I have been in the last 2 months of my life? Sometimes before I give someone an appointment, I think. Am I going to be able? Because as I'm pushing everything to Friday, Friday is coming. Tomorrow is Friday. If you know how many appointments I have tomorrow, and I'm in Ibadan. But the places I'm going to visit are like as far as the east is from the west. Now, by what time am I going to come back to do other things that are my assignment? And then there is prayer in the evening. Am I sure I won't get late to that prayer time? Prioritize your life. Certain places you don't have to go. Certain places on Instagram or on social media you don't have to go. On social media. Social media is not bad. Go there, do your business you want to do, get out. It takes discipline. Because by the time you see one crazy video, it leads you to another, then you'll be wanting more. It is not your spirit that is wanting more. Your spirit is actually fighting you. Say, hey, stop it. No, stop it. You don't have to go there. Stop it. You are better than that. But your flesh says, no, I want more. Can I get some more? I need something to suck on, baby. Give me some more. Give it to me. And the whole day cascades into a whole week. Before you know it, a whole month. When are you going to finish your project? I'll finish very soon. You push it forward. So, have I finished reading this scripture? Let me finish reading it. So, if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth. Can you put that back? Verse 24. Thank you. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. A man looks in the glass, oh yeah, and then he walks away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man. He forgets who he is. The next moment he's fighting a bus conductor. You didn't create with the what? Forgetteth what manner of man he was. He said, that's someone who is a hearer of the word, not a doer. So he hears in church. He is a chosen generation. He is a holy nation. He is a peculiar people. He is a king and priest to reign with Christ on earth. But 2 days after, saying, man, Nigeria is not easy, man. Everybody just the hustle. The hustle is real. The grind is real. Hustle! Hustle? God's children don't hustle. We work smart. We work hard. We are diligent. But more important than all of that, we are blessed. We are not us. Did you get what I said? Don't mind my microphone that is fading off and on. Many people forget who they are. The next moment, they're on the prayer mountain asking for mercy, asking for breakthrough, breakout, begging God, begging and begging and crying and begging and crying and begging and crying. And God is looking at them like this. With all I've done for you, you have my name, you have my word, you have my spirit, you have my blood, you have my covenant, you have my angels. What else do you want? Oh, no, Lord, I just got to make it. I know that I can make it. Oh, God, I'm going to make it. Let me make it, Lord. Just show me mercy because I can't make it. And he said, you made it already. I don't believe that. If I made it already, would I be like this? Lord, let me make it. That's the prayer many people pray. When they should be praying Ephesians 1, 17 to 23, that God should open their eyes to see what they already have. How can you be asking God for something that he already gave you and you thought he's going to give you? He's given you already. Lord, make my name Fred. Let my name be PFE. Let my name be Fred Elegbe, Pastor Fred Elegbe, PFE. Lord, make my name. Make it Fred. And I prayed that for 1,000 years. Don't you think that's a waste of time? Sometimes when people say they've been praying for something for 25 years, I wonder, 25 years? Is God that withholding? Is it that mean? Psalm 84 verse 11, it says, the Lord God is your sun and your shield. He will give grace, which is unmerited favor. He will give glory. And he said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So God is not withholding. Why are we wrestling him like he's withholding, like he's a wicked man? God is a good God. Psalm 106 verse 1, Psalm 107 verse 1, Psalm 118 verse 1. God is good and his mercy endureth forever. Amen. One of the Psalms says that his goodness reaches to the skies. It's inexhaustible. So, James, go back to James. Let me finish that scripture. James chapter 1, and now we're in verse 24. Verse 24 again. Thank you. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgets. Then verse 25. Because it's just a hearer, it's not a doer. He's hearing. But he's not doing. It's only the doers that bring results. Pastor Fred is a wonderful teacher of God's word. Man, is a that's my pastor. Glory be to God. Are you doing what he's teaching you? That's when you go and bring results. Are you getting what I'm saying? Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, and continueth therein. This is why it should come daily. Your word study should be daily. Daily. You must continue therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice he didn't say a doer of the word. He says a doer of the work. Because the word is work. This to do God's word is a job. It's a job. You got to do it. It's work. Lazy people cannot be Christians. When you are lazy, you can't be a believer for a long time. Your walk of faith will require sometimes that you fast. And if you are lazy, you cannot fast. I fast by the grace of God. As often as I fast, I can tell you every time is a challenge. I thought by now I should have outgrown it and just fast. Like I just want to go 7 days marathon. Easy. No, brother. The one very tough. I just finished my 3 days. Monday, started Monday, and Monday was packed. One of my younger sisters is spending the holiday with her kids, with me, with us. And so Monday morning, she was fasting herself, the deaconess in her church, and they fast the first 3 days of the month, I believe. And she was cooking for the children. And I asked if I would like some food. Man, this is my sister, my mama's daughter, who knew how to cook like my mom. That would be some meal that would remind me, that would take me down memory lane. And the aroma from the kitchen, I almost said, yeah, well, why not? Yeah, glory to God. but so she said, well, but I'm fasting. She's fasting and, you know, they've got to go to church to pray in the evening. I knew I was supposed to be fasting. That does not lie. I knew it. And God did not force me. It was me that told God, I want to be fasting. First 3 days of the month, I want to do marathon. I just want to be with you. I just want to pray. Very soon I'll be running away. I won't be doing it in the presence of people. Because I'm distracted. I go to places and there is food everywhere. It's tough. Chanda Bahai. Sometimes I'm doing an event. I'm fasting, man. And the kind of food they are serving is not what you eat regularly at home. Can we be honest? Every time. Challenge. Every time. Including last Monday. I had to tell her. I was saying earlier that you should maybe consider me. But no, don't consider me. In the name of Jesus. Don't worry about that. And I'll be fine. She got the message. So she thought it was like her own kind of fast that they would break in the evening. In the afternoon, she gave me a call. I was in my office. Oh, I came to church. Yeah, I came to church for prayer. Before the prayer time, she said, she said, well, she made some pap. She made it herself. And then she boiled some already and boiled some for me. That it will be good for me to break my fast. And man, my life, I felt like, yeah, thank you. In the name of Jesus, Father, can we break this fast today? And we continue some other time. It was as if I'd never taken pap before in my life. You know, when you are fasting, that's when your body really wants food badly. What normally would not even appeal to you becomes appealing because you're fasting. And the flesh wants you to break. Because this flesh doesn't like to be punished. The flesh wants pleasure. When you say, I want to fast 7 a.m., your body will wake you up. Hello, I want breakfast. You want to fast? I want breakfast. You know that there are days when you don't even eat at all until about 11 a.m., 12 noon sometimes. You are so busy. You're not fasting, but you're not eating. And the day you choose to fast, oh Lord, have mercy. 6 a.m., your stomach is singing. You bind it in the name of Jesus. Don't worry, it's still 6 a.m., okay? Wait till 11. You'll be thinking, whoa, ah, PFE gone, and I'm not there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Why is this stalking me? Like it's stalking me everywhere. Why are we doing? I can't come and go and die. And then if you lack discipline, you will break it. I'll fast tomorrow. Tomorrow will never come. Tomorrow comes, you break it again. And then you remain a baby Christian because your body ruled carnal. You got to learn to deal with your flesh. You're going to be led by the Spirit of God. And every time I've done this fast, God has revealed things to me. I'm telling you, it works. And I'm recommending to you guys, we will begin to see results on another level or even denying the flesh. Amen. James 1:25. What do you mean I have 10 more minutes? That's a joke. I just started like 15 minutes ago. Like 10 minutes ago, right? That's how it feels. Like I'm still just warming up. But also look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, even not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be what? Shall be what? I thought we are all blessed. But you see, there is something to do. Don't listen to hyper-grace people that tell you, oh, grace covers everything. You gotta do nothing. Grace. They even call it promiscuous grace. Extravagant grace. The grace that covers anybody. Covers anything. My friend, when tire hits the road, some of those principles you know don't work. You gotta have inner strength to go on. Having done all to stand, stand. Paul said, I labor more abundantly than they all. Not me, but the grace of God at work in me. Labor by grace. To labor in the word. 2 hours. 1 hour. 30 minutes. By grace. To labor in prayer. 2 hours. 1 hour. 2 hours. By grace. Grace is not for laziness. Grace is for work. Medical students, you have to go to class. You have to read your books. Is that right? When it's time for anatomy, you have to go to the laboratory and see cadaver. Dead body. Are you ready for medicine? You got to have that inner strength. You can't sleep, wake up, eat potato chips and ketchup and burrito and ice cream and milkshake for 6 years, watching Netflix, and after 6 years, the university will give you a certificate, MBBS. You are now a medical doctor. After 6 years of watching Netflix and eating potato chips, does it happen in any country in the world? Anybody can call himself a heavyweight boxing champion. You can call yourself that. It's a fine appellation. Yeah. It's an appellation. Have you ever been in the boxing ring? No. I just love to watch boxing from TV, and that's how that was how I got to know how to box. Okay. Have you faced an opponent before to box them and they box you? Oh, no. I box virtually. You won't even be a lightweight champion. To become an Iron Mike Tyson, you need to get into the ring. They blow your mouth, your neck twist to the side. My brother showed me a video of one guy who got involved in a fight, boxing fight. The opponent beat him so bad, by the time they came to interview him after the fight, he said, man, I'm not going to box again in my life. I'm not going to box again in my life. I'm not, oh no, nonsense, bullshit. The guy beat him. He had no chance. You know when they are beating you, you go to one corner, they beat you back and then beat you. The guy beat him crazy. He said, I'm not going to box again in my life. Whatever is worth doing at all is worth doing well. You want to be a strong of God, full of the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit, you must spend real time in the Word, real time in prayer, real time in consecration. You can't be living in sin and say, grace will just abound. I will just be led by the Holy Ghost. Once I speak in tongues, 15 minutes in the morning, cambras, tele, blah, blah, blah. The tongue you are speaking, you are doing makeup. The tongue you are speaking, you are pressing phone. Grostofala shagadaba. This guy is crazy. Look at this picture. Crazy guy. Boroboro is what you're going to have. Your prayer time, you've got to be intentional. Listening to God, you have to be intentional because you listen with your heart. I'll give you one more scripture tonight. The three major ways you remember that God leads us. Number one, the inward witness. I've taught on that extensively. Those of you that were not here when I taught it, go and get the messages from the media. They can load you, give you the link. You can download on Spotify, AudioMark, and the rest. Second way, the voice of our spirit, which is your conscience. Number three way is the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. I want to show you something also. There are times you perceive. It's also connected to the inward witness. Act of the Apostles. Let's look at Paul. This will be the last scripture for tonight. Hopefully. Acts 26. Actually, I wanted to take you through Acts 26, 27, and 28. Acts 26. Acts 27, actually. But I also want 26. There's something I want to talk about in 26. Acts 27 and verse 9. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, verse 10, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive I perceive. Didn't say the Lord said to me. The Holy Ghost said, if you want to water it down to current English, I have a feeling. I am sensing that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Not only of the laden and ship, but also of our lives. How did he perceive? In the spirit, there was an inward witness that this journey will not end well. But somebody had a better idea than Paul. Next verse. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul, which came as a result of the witness of the Holy Spirit into Paul's spirit. Which means there are times in your life that people would not believe the leading of the Lord in your life. But you must believe. There will be times when you tell people, I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me to do this. Can you say the Holy Spirit is leading you to do it? I don't believe that. Well, that you don't believe it does not mean that it's not right. I perceive. He didn't say the Holy Ghost said. He said, God said. And he thundered. No. I perceive. Do you know that we all perceive? Many times we don't listen to that inward witness. Never you have anything to do with that man. Oh, thank you, Lord. 5 years later, you forgot. Got your fingers burnt. The Lord knows all men. The Bible says that very clearly. Jesus said, they wanted to make him a king. The Bible said Jesus knew all men. I perceive. There are times that, apart from that perception, God also leads us through spectacular guidance. The guidance of the Lord is not always spectacular. That's why we don't believe him many times. We don't take him serious. We say, one thing just said to me, like a thought just came, but I ignored it. But I regret it too. I should have followed. That was the Holy Spirit leading you, giving you an inward witness. But normally, we want God to speak out loud. We want to see an angel. Oh, glory to God. As an angel. An angel told me to go to Dubai. Therefore, I'm running to Dubai. But if an angel didn't show up, and you have a perception in your spirit, go to Dubai. What for? What business do I have in Dubai? I better leave me alone. Is it Dubai we're talking? I want to go to London. What you are looking for in London is in Dubai. I'm telling you, what some people are looking for in London now is in Dubai. And some are supposed to be in London, they're in Dubai. Move, they refuse to move. Get a passport. They won't get an international passport. Apply. They won't apply. Let the Lord come out. If it's the will of the Lord, I will go abroad. If it's the will. Okay? One woman, my brother-in-law, processed the visa for. They got her a job offer in the country called Albania, somewhere in Europe. And the country says, after you've got your visa, your electronic visa, go to the government website and process your okay to board. We have to okay you to board the flight. They told her, go and do your okay to board. She refused. Why do I need to do okay to board? I have my visa already. The next is to buy a ticket. She bought a ticket. She got to Muritala Muhammad Airport in Lagos. She wanted to board. They didn't allow her to board. Not only her, but 24 Nigerians were refused from boarding. Why? They didn't have okay to board. Started harassing my brother-in-law. You are a scammer. You are a blood. You are brr. You are brr. You are brr. I'm involved in the case now. So don't worry. I'll deal with that for you. I know how to deal with people. Because of the things I've been through. Especially when they become life-threatening. Going to be threatening your life. Do your okay to God. I can't do it. Why don't you do it for me? Oh, they should spoon feed you. There are overgrown babies in this world. The same in the realm of the spirit. God will never do your praying for you. You got to do your own praying. Pastor, please pray for me. Oh, be praying for me every day. Okay. When are you going to grow? When my children were babies, we used to spoon feed them. They can't come to me and say, except my daughter who just, baby, once in a green moon, just wants to be a baby girl. Eddie, feed me. That's just once in a green moon. And she knows that I have to be in a very, very good mood. Like I'm in a baby boy mood. Not in a father mood. There is daddy. Daddy! There's father. Sometimes she holds my phone and I look at her, and without talking, she drops the phone. She understands that. That's father. Father mode activated. But if it's daddy mode, she can come and sit on my lap. Sit on my. I said, nobody should sit on my new chair. I have a new chair upstairs. White! Nobody should sit on it. Everybody behaved themselves, including all the cousins, the brother. Everybody behaved themselves. I sat on the white chair. My baby girl looked at me, saw me in a very good mood. She walked right over and sat on my lap, and I was smiling. And my son looked at me like, really? We got to grow up. We got to grow up. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are times it will just give you that perception, but there are times it does spectacular guidance. My time is up, but I'll just make reference to one scripture. We'll look at it next week by God's grace. That's going to be Acts 26. If I do this for me, read it ahead. Read the whole chapter, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. And then look at verse 19. Verse 19, I'm going to teach on. I'm going to take it from the beginning, but I'll zero in on verse 19. It said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So there are times that God gives people a vision, right? There are times that an angel could appear. Yes, but when you read it in the Bible, it doesn't mean that that was how those people lived every day. It doesn't mean that was how they were led every day. Paul once saw an angel on the ship. He saw an angel. You know, when there was that shipwreck, he said, the angel of the Lord, whose I am, stood by me this night and said to me that there will be no loss of life. Yeah, there was an angel. He saw an angel. But Paul didn't see an angel every day. Angel, where are we going today? Now, go to Mokola. Yeah. And then tomorrow, angel, where are we going? No, you have been led by a devil right there. Never you pray to see an angel, because there is no scriptural provision for you to pray to see an angel. If you pray that prayer, the devil will take advantage of you. He will manifest himself, transform himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. He will transform himself into an angel of light, and he will lead you, and he will mislead you, and he will hurt you. Never you pray, Lord, give me a vision in the night. Lead me as I'm going to bed tonight, Lord. Give me a vision in the night. Appear to me. Show me exactly where to go. Don't be praying those kind of prayers. You have more than enough leading by the word of God. As you are reading and meditating, he's giving you visions. Are you getting what I'm saying? If it pleases the Lord to use an angel to appear to you, it will be at a time you didn't even expect. Read the Bible, you'll see that there. And most of the people, if not all of them, who saw an angel, first of all, they trembled. And then the angel, because he was from the Lord, will say to them, fear not. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because there's no way you see an angel that your knees will not buckle. It is possible, as I'm teaching tonight, for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and you see angels in this building. you didn't pray for it. God could show you my angel. I don't know how many I have, but I know I have this very special one that follows me everywhere. Praise God. That shouldn't make me more special than you. You also have yours. Amen. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? Are you a heir of salvation? So you have angels. At least one. Amen. So next week, we're going to look at spectacular guidance. God's leading is not always spectacular. But there are times that you can have a spectacular guidance like Paul had, which is described in Acts 26. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been blessed tonight? So when we sing that song, God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision. It's not asking, it's not talking about vision of the night or to fall into a trance. It's talking about, give me a vision for my life. Give me like a purpose. Let me see clearly how you see me. Let me see myself. Are you getting it? Father, we thank you for your word. And we have been thoroughly blessed. Have you been blessed tonight? So give him thanks in 1 minute. Say, Father, I thank you for your word. Let God hear you. Let God hear your gratitude. I spoke about Thanksgiving on Sunday. Let God hear your gratitude. If you are grateful, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for feeding us with food convenient tonight. Thank you for not dealing with us according to our sins, nor rewarding us according to our iniquities. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for purging our conscience of dead works. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for the ability to come into your presence to fellowship again. Thank you for the ability to hear your word. We honor you and we praise you. And as we go home tonight, let your ever-abiding presence go with us. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of the precious Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.